the Lord Jesus Christ is able to lead his people into a higher level of love for God than they have ever known before. Our God is a God of revival. Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's fourth message in the series on backsliding, the message titled Runners Recovering by Grace. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
We will now read once again from Hosea chapter 14. And our text this morning is verses 5 through 9 as we look at the last part of this wonderful chapter. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Thus far, the reading of sacred scripture. Dear congregation, you recall we've been looking at the theme of backsliding and restoration. We've observed how runners can be injured in the race and how God in his great grace can come and heal them. And it may be that throughout these sermons you have said many times, that's me. And your spiritual life is still somehow not improved. It's taken a fall, perhaps deeper, perhaps you've stumbled the more. And now the finish line looks very far away and very hopeless. Your sin may have broken your heart and dishonored your Lord and damaged your ability to walk with God. What a trial that can be in the life of a believer. And from your side, you do have every reason to be discouraged. How are you ever going to finish the race? Well, the good news of our text this morning is that Jesus Christ can heal you and will heal you and will bring your soul out of its captive prison and bring you the victor's crown. If you are his child, all of this will happen. And by his grace, his daily grace, you will recover from your fall. It's not only possible to survive, but to thrive under this gracious Savior. Now, we have listened for some weeks to the Holy Spirit calling us in Hosea 14 to return to the Lord through repentance, through the use of means of grace, and through a sense of dependency. And last time we heard him promise his people that he would give them the abundant grace of adoption and justification and sanctification. Well, this morning, we want to then consider his glorious promises to bring his people, all through these gracious promises, to full recovery. And I look at that with you this morning from Hosea 14, verses 5 through 9. I'll be reading the full text during the preaching, but let me just read right now the last part of verse 8. From me is thy fruit found. With God's help, then, we want to consider the theme of runners recovering by grace. We'll look at three aspects of grace. First, reviving grace. Second, sovereign grace. And third, applied grace. Runners recovering by grace, reviving, sovereign, applied grace. Today, as well as in ancient times, Israel is an extremely dry country. You've got the Dead Sea, and the more northern part, this is all in the eastern part of Israel, you've got the Sea of Galilee, and the Jordan River flows from the Sea of Galilee, ends up in the Dead Sea. But for the most part, for the rest of Israel, there's hardly any water anywhere. It's a very dry country. This searing hot wind comes in off the desert. It's not like Michigan where you can see a little pond here and a little pond there, a little lake here, a little lake there. But there was one other area that was an exception. That area was called Lebanon. Lebanon had beautiful slopes, moistened continually by dew, and there were places in Lebanon that were lush with growth year-round. So water in general, and Lebanon in particular, often appear in the Bible as an image of spiritual blessing. And that's why you see all these references to Lebanon here in our text, verses 5, 6, and 7. Let me read them. Notice the word Lebanon three times. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine, the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. So Lebanon was very fruitful. Lebanon had olive trees, and there was a smell when you entered Lebanon of the wine that was of the vines and so on. And Lebanon was known for its fine wine. Lebanon was just a place that was lush with life. Now, here in Hosea 14, this is not a promise to Israel, a literal promise of agricultural bounty. But it's a metaphorical promise of spiritual prosperity. All these flourishing plants referred to here in this image are people. And the water is, of course, God himself. The Lord says, I will be as the dew unto Israel, and they, the people, shall revive as the corn. And you see, the Lord here is continuing this long series of I wills, 31 I wills in the book of Hosea. I will heal their backsliding, we heard last week. I will love them freely. And now God says, I will give myself to my people so fully in this restoring from backsliding that they will flourish under my grace. They will become lush with spiritual growth. They will be like Lebanon spiritually. You see, this is the promise of God. True believers will experience reviving grace as they come with words to God, as they come with repentance to God, as they use the means of grace, as they trust in His sovereign grace. He will revive. He will make them increasingly strong and stably rooted and fragrantly beautiful. The Puritan Richard Sibbes, who wrote really a whole book on this chapter, said, God's love is a fruitful love. Wheresoever he loves, he makes things lovely. So when God comes, when God revisits our soul, he comes like the dew. He comes refreshing us. He comes renewing us. He comes invigorating us. He brings life. He brings growth. He brings a sense of beauty. He brings a fragrance. That's why it's often said by the old forefathers in various books you can read of this, and we still experience it today, don't we? That when God first works in someone and brings them to peace with Jesus Christ, even when they walk out in nature, it seems like the grass is greener and the leaves have more detail, and all of creation is expressing its glory to God as we've never seen it before. Well, that happens spiritually, you see, and it flows over into the natural. But everything about God then appears lovely. His love makes us lovely. His life makes us lively. His grace makes us gracious. He revives us with this dew, with this water. Now, the water refers, of course, to God, I said. But in a special way, this water refers to the Holy Spirit, who is often symbolized in the Bible as water. Isaiah 32, Isaiah 44, John 7. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is his great gift to us. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. He speaks about his disciples springing up into everlasting life. John 4:14. And so what Jesus does is he baptizes his people with the Holy Spirit, flooding and drenching them with the Spirit's divine presence and influence like a heavy dew that you see also this time of the year in the mornings. There's an old Scottish divine, a very close friend of Samuel Rutherford, who wanted to be buried next to Rutherford. He's actually buried just 2 feet away from Rutherford. His name is Thomas Halliburton. He was a great theologian, godly man, died when he was 39 years old. He said this, "It is not said merely that the Lord will give dew, but that he himself will be as the dew." Meaning, that it be a new and near manifestation of the Lord himself, an approach or drawing near of God himself to the soul, which he does by the fresh supplies of the Holy Spirit. So what happens, you see, as we are recovering, as we're repenting, using the means of grace, tasting the joys of adoption, justification, sanctification, as we heard last time. As these things of recovery are happening, God himself draws near to us. And with fresh manifestations through his word, makes himself precious and revives us. So that the running and the repenting and the renewing are not now just done matter-of-factly or out of a sense of duty, but there becomes a spring in our step. There's a reviving in our soul. There's a filling afresh of the Holy Spirit within us. There's a spiritual, individual, spiritual revival going on inside. And you see, when that happens, you can be sure that full recovery is on the way. Full recovery is in process. Because when the Holy Spirit fills us with a conscious sense of his reviving work, we possess every other blessing in Christ Jesus through him. Ephesians 1 verse 3. All blessings in Christ Jesus. There's a fullness about the Spirit. And the Spirit, you know, is compared by Paul also in Ephesians 1 to a down payment, an earnest. You get him, you get everything. Everything is going to come in the train of the Spirit's presence. As he pours himself out upon you, he pours out the graces in Jesus Christ. He takes the things of Jesus and shows them to you. And suddenly you experience I'm no longer backsliding. There's fresh communion. How sweet it is to have the work of grace revived. See, a true believer is someone who knows the revival of God's grace. He knows the initial joys of God's grace. He knows backsliding, but he also knows the reviving of grace. He knows what it is to pray for it too. By thy Spirit, Lord, revive thy work. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Fulfill thy own word that he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, says Psalm 72, as showers that water the earth. There's another Puritan by the name of Edward Reynolds who also wrote a whole book on Hosea 14. And he says that this image painted here in these last verses of a prospering and fruitful plant is put here in the Bible to encourage the beleaguered children of God to go to prayer, to beg an answer of God, not according to the defect and the narrowness of our own low conceptions, but according to the fullness, he says, of God's abundant mercies. So you have all these things about Lebanon, not so that you dissect each one and wonder what every little application is to spiritual meaning. No, that's not the point. You have all these things about the lusciousness of Lebanon so that you might get a conception in your mind that God is an overflowing, abundant storehouse of goodness and grace and reviving spiritual mercies so that it will stir you up to pray, to go to him and say, Lord, the God who has said, I will heal your back, backsliding, I will love you freely, and who gives reviving grace in all kinds of abundance like the lusciousness of Lebanon. Do it for me, Lord. It's to stir us up, you see, to draw us out, to help us to believe in the exceeding great mercies and precious promises of our God. Reynolds goes on to say, God delights to have his people beg great things of him, to implore the performance of exceeding great and precious promises, to pray for a share in the unsearchable riches of Christ, to know things that pass knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. He's drawing, of course, there from four different biblical texts. So what does that say to us today? Well, do you ever dream about what the Holy Spirit could do for you? I mean, how great communion with God could be? I'm not referring here, of course, to worldly dreams of power or prestige or pride or possessions. I'm talking about dreams of becoming more like Jesus Christ. That's what a believer wants. But so often it seems too big for us, too much for us. How can it ever happen? Hosea says it happens by God becoming the dew of Israel, by the Holy Spirit watering the garden of our souls. You see, God paints himself here for us in this metaphorical picture, that he himself is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. This is a picture of Jesus. Jesus' branches were heavy with the fruits of Lebanon, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all the fruit of the Spirit mentioned by Paul in Galatians 5. And if these fruits abound in Jesus, who's the tree planted, and believers are like little trees planted beside him, why can't it happen to you? The Lord Jesus was anointed with the Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge. God gave him remarkable insight into human nature to understand and apply the Bible. But why can't God do that to you? Why can't he give you insight, illumination of the Spirit when your soul's revived to see his own glory in his word, so that your present light would be like dawn's glimmer compared to noonday brightness? John says we all have the anointing of the Spirit to teach us. So what Hosea is doing is these promises are aimed to not only encourage us, but to stretch us so that we understand that through life's trials and prosperity and ups and downs, God has so much more to teach us about himself. And he wants to draw us close, as we sang in 163, pressing up against his side and reviving his communion with us so that we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's expectation. There's hope. There's spiritual growth in the Lord. So why shouldn't we have big dreams and big desires and big prayer requests for our God, when this God says, I will be as the dew unto Israel, that rebellious, backsliding people? Why wouldn't he be that way to you? Why wouldn't his reviving grace come to you? You see, the point is this. We must not settle for mere spiritual mediocrity. We must not settle for just a return from our backsliding to some kind of neutral position. You know, backsliding, if you take the neutral position of zero, backsliding is like slipping down into -5. And too often when we return from backsliding, we're just content to get back to zero. But God says, no, go forward, run the race, looking to Jesus, move into the positive. Aim for a life that is close with him, a life of expectancy, a life of joy, a life where you're filled with the Holy Spirit, a life where the dew of Lebanon, the scent of Jesus Christ, the aroma of Christ goes out from you wherever you go, because you love him and you cannot hold back about him. Oh God, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. Fill me with the Lord Jesus Christ again, and move thy Holy Spirit within me to indwell me in greater fullness, so that I may drink in the bounties of thyself. That's what Hosea says God is promising his people. Spiritual growth. Not spiritual neutrality. Growth for yourself, growth for your family, growth for our church, growth for our seminary, growth for our schools, growth for the churches of all nations. Oh, pray big requests to this great and glorious, reviving, promising, gracious God. Now, Paul does this all the time, of course, and I'll give you two cases. I don't have time to go into it, but read them when you get home. He has these profound prayers of tremendous spiritual growth and life, where he prays for things that just expand beyond what we would ordinarily even think of. Paul had big dreams and big expectations. If you look just at the prayers of Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, and of course the famous prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."